And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, in a field here on Declare Your Independence, and me, Ernest Hancock, here on the desert of west of Phoenix, in Arizona, where it's a beautiful. This is a good day to talk about this, what I want to talk about. Do we have secession or revolution? And what's the difference between the two? And what's the mindset we should have? This is appropriate. We have it today. I got a call from Dr. Frank last night. He may come on in the next hour for, you know, one segment just to, you know, pimp for Trump and going protesting and letting your voice be heard and call and vote and stuff. And I'm in the criticism, he says a lot of his supporters and friends that listen to the Trump Report, which, you know, it's a popular show. And their whole thing is, I'm not screaming for Trump enough. I'm not, you know, for a revolution enough. I'm not enough of, you know, passion of I've been here already. I already know where this goes. And I want to help people express themselves. We make signs. We got another sign thing going on this weekend. And to what? You know, what are we amplifying? What are we advocating for? You know, what is it? I want Trump to rule me. Yeah, you rule me better than the other guys that's going to rule me. And I want to be ruled. And I think I'll decline. Well, there's an article. It's called In the Great American Myth, Secession, Not Revolution. And there's another one that goes with it. The New Confederacy. Yes, it's time for conservatives to unite against the globalist reset. Now, between these, it's making some observations, and it was brought to my attention. I mean, of course, we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix and so on, but I didn't, you know, read it. You know, so I'm going, well, House Goggins is a longtime listener to the show, and he's in. Hal, where are you at? You're in Houston area somewhere.
Yeah, I'm in Houston still.
So Houston, I met Houston during the Ron Paul Revolution, one of our trips into Texas, and he and his wife made a point to say hello, you know, and meet the body behind the face. So everything you expected, I thought you'd be taller. Anyway, so we got to shake hands and say, yo, what's up? And he's been listening to the show for a long time. And he wanted to talk about this with us. And Bob Anderson's in. He read the article. He has some things to say, too. So we're going to take a couple of hours and just get to know each other a little bit and have this discussion. Because this is where it's going. There's going to be we're not going to have, you know, half of the population of America, or more than half. I mean, you know, I don't believe in the election results, any election. But the for us to have the discussion, what happens when you have this socialist, leftist, whatever-ist, collectivist, statist, we rule you-ist philosophy taking over the shiny badges and the guns of government? And then, what are we going to do? Okay. Well, I guess the computer said this, so you're in charge now, you know? Is that what's going to happen? Or is there going to be something else? And what will that something else be? And how, you know, it's like in Benjamin Martin in The Patriot. our children will learn it from their own eyes. It will be amongst us, among our homes. You know, this is what we're looking at. Then, you know, so we go on the Love Bus Liberty Tour. We get the sentiment and the stories from around the country. I see it coming. You know, there's a lot of people just not, nah, I'm good. And then, well, we can't make it work unless we make you pay, make you and take and not allow. What am I allowed to do? What am I prevented from doing? What's your conflict resolution? You answer those questions and you'll see the future. Well, I can see the future. I see the future. So we need to talk about this. Now, Hal Scoggins has been a long time listener to the show. He's always sending me good stuff over the years. And Hal, introduce yourself. You know, what stage in life you are, what you're doing, why you're in Texas. I know your childhood, you were in New York City. Your father was a New York policeman. That was Tom Longo.
You got me confused with somebody else.
I'm reading the story. Go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm originally from Texas. Excuse me. It's early and I'm old, man. I'm in my late 60s. I was actually born in Norman, Oklahoma, when my dad was up there working on a master's degree during the summertime. But I'm a native Texan, about as close as they come. I've lived here all my life. I'm in Houston now just because my wife and I moved here for work. And now we're both retired, but we ain't moving again until we figure out the right place. So we're still enjoying the city life. Enjoying is in quotes.
Yeah.
I got to tell you straight up, right at the beginning here, man, when the show started, man, this is slow. Because I listened to your podcast at 1.5 speed, and this is like, I'm like you, skip to the end, man. It's slow. So I'm going to be sitting here kind of waving my arms. Nobody will be able to see me because we don't have video so good. Anyway, now I was not born in New York. You got me confused with somebody else, or you're reading somebody else's bio, man.
Yeah, no. My confusion was I was just reading the article. And that's Tom Longo's bio, because you're in Texas, and he moved to Texas. So in the story, his father's a police pensioner that had a problem when New York City was going bankrupt before, and then he moved to Texas, and I'm going, and it just made me quite go, okay, so your dad was, I go, no, wait. No, I know I messed that one up. All right, so Hal, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little town just south of Houston, about an hour. When I was born, my dad was a band director down there, and he was a band director at the local junior high and then the local high school, and then he went into other businesses and did better. And so I grew up in a typical Texas small town, I guess you'd say.
Well, yeah, typical. You know, so football was the big thing.
Of course, yeah. And I was in the band, and, you know, marched every Friday night, met a football game and all that kind of stuff.
What did you play?
Baritone. Big brass instrument, just shy of a tuba.
Damn, okay. All right. And you're a tall guy. You're what, 6'3" or something?
Nah, I'm just 5'10". I just seem tall because I'm thin.
Cowboy boots. It's been a while since we actually physically met. I just remember you being tall, lean, kind of Texas-y, you know, so that's a compliment.
No, lean and Texas-y. Yeah, that's it.
Lean and Texas-y. You know, this is, when did you start listening to the show? I mean, this is, I guess, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I was trying to remember that yesterday when I was, you know, kind of mentally prepping for being on here. I don't remember. I first met you guys, I think it was 2003. My wife and I came to a Freedom Summit, and I just kind of stumbled across a...
You've been to a Freedom Summit. Okay, we'll talk about it. We got a couple of hours. We're going to get into it. We got to understand our perspective and what we're, you know, why. I mean, it's like with the Freedom Summit. Well, hell, you know, that's in the club, you know. So we'll share what we think about secession, revolution, what's coming, 21. We'll be right back.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Got through that, and the other one, the New Confederacy, we're going to get into that a little bit too, right? Or is that the primary one?
That was just one that the one that I sent you from by Tom Luongo, he mentioned this, and I didn't go back and reread the first one. I just highlighted some stuff, the same stuff that I had broken out when in the email that I sent you.
All right, good. Yeah, Bob, say hey. Let me get make sure you're on the
hey.
Right.
Hey.
Okay, wait. That one, try that.
Hey. There you go.
Can you hear it?
Yep.
Okay. The let me do this. Yeah, Robert Anderson, you've probably been hearing on the show over the years, and we're out here, yeah. And he's of the like mind, and you know, having this conversation. So, all right, we're coming back. Let's go and get right to it. Finish the introduction.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Well, property we went and saw this weekend sure as heck didn't have any roads. We got to build. Who built the roads? Well, I guess it's going to be me if I want to get that property, which I really, 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 really like. And we'll talk about that another time. All right. Hal, I want to make sure that we get to know you a little bit. And you just mentioned, you know, I forgot all about this. God, it's like 17 years ago or a while ago. Every year we would do Freedom Summits, and you and your wife in 03, keep in mind, this is years before the Lovelution. And it was right probably about when I just started doing radio in February of 03 before we invaded Iraq. You know, we actually went in the ground invasion. And that was the reason why I went on, is because somebody's got to be anti-war. Somebody has got to go, are you freaking kidding me? That was... And we're in the same situation now. You know, do we go into a civil war? There's a lot of people, they are not going to take mandatory vaccinations. That's just not going to happen. They're not going to allow people to just take all their guns. That's just not going to happen. They're not going to allow the breakup of their nuclear family, whatever that is. That's just not going to happen. There's not going to be wholesale confiscation of lands and getting you off and repositioning into a shipping container down by the light rail system with everything abiding needs gruel coming out of the wall. You know, that's just not going to happen. There's going to, for some people, it will. You know, some people go, oh, give me my universal basic food paste, you know, and they're happy as heck, and I get to play video games. But some people, you know, and it doesn't even matter what percentage, significant minority is going to go, nah, I think we'll decline. Then what? You know, so how, finish with your introduction. How did you find about the Freedom Summit? Where did that come out of the woodwork?
I was just online. I that was way before podcasts, certainly your podcasts. I just stumbled across an ad embedded somewhere, I guess, and saw it and read about it and said, well, that sounds interesting. So I told my wife, and so we flew out to the 03 summit. We went back to the 04 summit. Met you the first day we were there. You know, we came to lunch, and we didn't know the area, never been to Arizona at all. So we went down the street to some sandwich shop with you guys and Mark and sat around and visited. Let's see, I think, who was there? I think Butler Schaefer might have been there.
Yeah.
A lot of the speakers went with us, and we just sat around and listened and visited a little bit, and I don't know.
Found your tribe?
What's that?
You found your tribe?
Well, yeah. I'd been gradually coming toward. Yeah, I heard at that Freedom Summit, Dick Body made his famous comment, you know, what's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist about 5 to 7 years if they're paying attention?
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, and I'd been paying attention for quite a while. I guess it's hard to remember that far back, but I guess when I was in college age, I was still kind of a liberal. You know, I wanted everything to be fair, just like everybody does almost at that age, you know. But, and then I just kind of, you know, I wasn't really politically minded for most of my life, actually. I remember someplace, I love telling people this. I wish I could go back and talk to the guy because he's dead now, but a good friend's father, back in 91, 92, somewhere back in there, we were having a conversation. I don't even remember what the conversation was about, because it sure wasn't about politics, because I wasn't politically minded, didn't pay attention. But he looked me right in the eye and said, I believe the government of the United States is going to fall to an armed revolt within 20 years. And now I'd like to go back and talk to the guy and say, what in the world did you see way back in the early 90s to make you say something like that?
You know, but what do you think he saw? What was he complaining about at the time? What was it that you think he was concerned with?
Again, I wish I could go back and ask him those questions, because I don't even remember the rest of the conversation. But that one phrase, that one comment is burned into my brain, you know. So anyway, I rocked along. Around late 97, early 98, I ran across Vince Aprinowitz's column online. Yes. And started reading Vin. And then I found Lou Rockwell and started going to Lou's website every day and reading articles there. And, you know, just the 5 to 7 years, like you say, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. Just kind of, you know, it was a gradual, and then all of a sudden, bang, I was there. You know, I just, the libertarian to anarchist happens immediately at some point.
This is what I'm concerned with, Hal. My problem with a lot of I'm glad Trump's fighting back. You know, amen. You know, go for it. You know, I'll support, you know, fight back, man. Use every avenue, go through the whole thing. Don't let it, you know. But my problem is that people have always delegated their responsibility to someone else to free them. You know, well, okay, Trump, you failed, Trump. You did it wrong. You know, I'm still not free, and gosh darn it, I'll support the next guy. And I'm going, there is no next guy. You know, it's you. It's every little anarchist. Yeah, I get up when I want, do what I want, day decision, unless you're freaking in chains. You know, so I this idea that somebody else is going to fix it for them, that is the sickness. You know, they, I don't think people understand that. When I say it won't, you know, happen, you know, all at once, it's just you see it. You can see everything that's being positioned in place to take all your goodies. Everybody all in, it's ours now, you know. But it doesn't happen, you know, all at once, but it does happen overnight. I mean, what I'm talking about, one day it's going to be Monday, and stock market's going to, bank's going to have their little holiday thing. You're going to get, you know, purple digital money in your, you know, crypto wallet from Bank of whoever. And I can see it coming. And people go, how did you know? I'm like, how did you not know? So what are you looking at? What do you think are the telltale signs that you went, whoa, man, here we go. And then we'll talk about the next segment, where we're going, you know, secession and revolution. But what was your criteria? What are you looking for?
Criteria for what? I mean,
you know, for
a little bit more clarification.
revolution, secession, a separation from, or a acknowledgement that they're bad. Hell, I went through decades just trying to convince people that, you know, this government was bad, and then it's going to be another 10 years or whatever until people start to realize governing is bad. I mean, if you're going to govern, I mean, you got to get smaller, local, sure as heck, if you're going to have this election thing, that has to be accurate. That's been a big thing of mine forever from the beginning. I'm going, they don't care. You know, this is just pretend. You know, it's just to keep you down. So I want to know, when we come back, Hal's going to go ahead and, help us. He's going to try and make sure, you know, that we understand his perspective, why this article had an impact on him, why he called, you know, why we're doing this show. I want to know why. Nobody ever asks why anymore. I want to know why. What was it that, you know, flipped your switch? We're going to find out when we come back.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help.
You see my point now?
Yeah. I got it.
So when we come back, why? You know, just why? Because that's everything. To me, when I first started doing radio, nobody ever asked why. And you go, blah, 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 blah. And I go, oh, okay, why? And politicians, guests, authors, because I make money saying it, because, you know, my wife made me say it. Why? You know? And this is what's going to be the motivation for resistance. People are going to have their whys. It may not be your why, but, you know, it's going to be definitely you got a reason. And I'm just wondering what it is, because this is going to get serious. I don't think people realize it's kind of like they still feel it's on a far battlefield or something. You know, I don't see it that way. Yeah. That's why I feel more comfortable in a bus. Seriously. I'm going, well, I'm a sucker.
I heard you talking about it's an MCI bus. I didn't hear the original story when you guys got that thing and started fixing it up. Where did it come from? How'd you come across it?
It was like December 7th, around, it was the end of the first week in December. We went and met with some patrons, and we had worked on the Levolution together, and they go, we want you to do for the vaccine issue, mandatory vaccines that are coming, what you did for the Levolution. And I knew what they meant. We had already started in October, just a month or two before, had realized when the Federal Reserve started putting everything on the balance sheet of we're taking everybody's crap and we own 40% of mortgages. I go, oh, okay. So this is everybody all in, it's ours now. I mean, I can see it coming. And so I go, they're going to have some kind of stimulus. They're going to dump money on it. It's going. And, of course, you know, COVID, whatever. I don't know if that they were interrelated. Nothing surprises me anymore. But there was one way or another, they're going to be printing up a bunch of money. And I knew that was happening. So I go, we got to get small, distribute all our stuff. We got way too heavy with just possessions and crap. And our kids are going to go, oh, thanks. Now we got to sort through it, you know. So we went ahead and distributed all that. And in early December, they called us up. We went and met. And they go, we want you to go on the road. And I said, you know, we're going to have to go on the road. And we got to do this anyway and save money and prepare for what's coming. Because we've been accumulating a lot of relationships and knowledge and building and farming and all this kind of stuff to get ready for this. And so I go, all right, we'll go ahead and do that. And I wanted to, how much time we got? We got a minute. Jay Noon up in New Hampshire had been looking. He's got big property. He's always buying some deal or something. And he kept coming across these buses, you know, for, you know, old buses that had been retired, but they were nice. And some of them not even that old for $5,000-$7,000. I said, you find a good bus, man. You let me know. And that next morning, we made the decision to do this the night before. You know, 12 hours later, I get a text saying, hey, look at this bus I found. And it was, you know, we only got it for, it was all fixed out and everything. It needed a lot of maintenance. I mean, it needed to be redid, but it was $19,000 and it was already ready. And we just threw in a bunch of electronics, got it painted, you know, worked on it for months, and then boom, here we are. So that's how that happened. All right, hold on. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-8255. 2800.
Ernie, Bob, and Hal. You know, we're just going to yak it here a little bit. The why? You know, that's where we left off. I'm wanting to know why. Why do you even care, you know, about freedom? Why do you seek out, you know, make the transition from libertarian to anarchist, and what does that mean to you? And, you know, and what was your motivation to even seek out answers in this realm, Hal?
I guess I've always been sort of rebellious. It's unfortunate in a way, but it's just my personality. I can remember that way, being that way in high school and even before, I suppose. I just don't like authority, you know, and authority is in quotes. I'm a big proponent of pretty much everything that Larkin Rose has to say on that topic, but I'm gonna leave a lot of dead air on your show, Ernie, because you got me thinking about stuff that I didn't think about.
I know. No dead air on my show. This is how Ernie keeps yakking. You know, it's when you go to that. I give you a good example. One of our primary supporters, he was just very unhappy the way things were going, and just a very smart and just logic and reason. It just didn't make any sense. And his wife, you know, they'd had a new relationship, had gone to him a few years before and said, "Well, your problem is you're libertarian, you know, like logic and reason and stuff. You're Vulcan and a human, you know." And he's like, "What?" And he started look. Why, and there's a whole. Oh my God! And then he found the Freedom Summit, and I didn't even talk to him other than I recognized his name on the name badges we did each year. You know, I had to do. I recognized the name, but. Just increasingly became a financial supporter because it was somebody's doing it. You know, they're out, you know, what their perception of what should be done. We were heavily influenced by L. Neil Smith because he, you know, no compromise is death in his mindset. You're always compromising, eating away at your freedoms more and more and more, and then you don't have any, you know, and we never take ground back. And that's what this is really, conversation is really about, taking ground back. How do we take back, you know, inherently a life of freedom? I mean, how do you do that? What is the mechanism? What got you interested in this article, Hal?
I've been seeing and reading articles for, they're increasing over the last few months, of course, or well, probably over the last 4 years while Trump's been in office. Lots and lots of articles about the coming civil war, and lots of talk about secession. And, you know, every time I see one that mentions civil war or secession in the title, I print it out and I read it. And this one talked about both. And, you know, kind of squared them off as, you know, which is better. And that's the one that really caught my eye. Like I said in the very top of the comments when I passed this on to some friends, I said, this is the best article, I think, on the topic, both topics that I've seen.
Because, you know, this is
some really good points.
Yeah, this is one thing, Bob. This is where you come in. You know, you were making a comment about secession being an option only if the other side wants to let you. You know, rebellion, revolution, uprising, secession is all. I don't want you to be my boss anymore. And they go, well, I want to be your boss. So now what?
Yeah, you know, I understand it from a libertarian perspective. The idea is, you know, the non-aggression principle, and it only works if the other side decides to like leave you alone. Yeah, you know, you could walk away, and go, yeah, okay, you guys can go live whatever socialist lifestyle you want over there, but they're going to come, and because part of their need for success is to, you know, suck the productivity out of you, and I don't think you're going to be able to walk away. I don't think succession is going to be an option. Or what? People would argue, I mean, to a certain extent, people already exercise it. You know, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. I got a certain level of succession in me that I just didn't want to be in town where I had to play by what they were doing. Doesn't mean they're eventually not going to come out here and, you know, try to...
We smell a little prosperity out there, Bob.
Absolutely. So I don't think secession, you know, why it sounds all good, is really an option when you're dealing with these psychopaths that won't leave you alone. They will come for you no matter where you go, no matter how far you they're going to go, wait a minute, there's people over there that are not in our control. They're out of control. We got to go get them. And they're going to come.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Hal?
Well, I agree, but I don't think that's the way it has to be. You know, I understand. I have those same thoughts, Bob. The thing is, you know, I look at secession movements and successes that have taken place in other countries in the last several decades, and the United States is not some magical place where everything is different.
Yeah.
I wish it was, but I agree with everything Bob just said. I think the chances of getting through this and being able to walk away peacefully without having to fight your way out are pretty slim. But again, just as Bob said, it's up to them. You know, if a group of people just want to step out and walk away and live on their own and go do it differently, it's up to the authorities, again in quotes, that, you know, whether they're going to let them do that peacefully or not.
Yeah, so, my situation is I don't really care. You know, I'm not looking for somebody to represent my banner. You know, I'm not wanting to wear their jersey. I mean, I don't have anything against the American flag or America, or I'm kind of, I like the people. I like the mythology, the culture, you know, the way it used to be. And I'm just not on team whatever the hell they tell me. You know, it's like you watch these, you know, Hitler Nazi parades where he's going down the street amongst a throng of people and he's standing up in his open car and they're waving little flags. You know, they got their Nazi flag. Well, a lot of those guys, the next week, what's the new flag? Okay, I'll wave that. I mean, you know, they're just, and there's that one famous picture, that one guy that just is not saluting. Everybody's Sieg Heil, and there's that one guy. There's a whole story behind him, you know, and like the tank guy in Tiananmen Square. So I'm not ready to just click my heels and salute the next person that's claiming they're going to rule me. And I'm just, that is what I'm afraid of. You know, I think Trump is probably way better than most. Certainly, I think he might even have some empathy a little bit. I think he might actually care. You know, I think he might, you know, I agree with a lot of what he's doing, but I don't think he's evil by nature, you know, where a lot of these people are. And that's where Bob kind of comes in. He's going, these guys are not, they don't care. You know, vote schmote, man. They don't give a crap. You know, they change it, couldn't change it. You know, it's like Game of Thrones, man. They just blow you up and slit your throat as soon as look at you anyway.
Yeah, the mask is off after this last election. I mean, if people are suffering under some illusion that you're going to vote yourself free, they've just shown you that, you know, for years, I mean, we've known this voter fraud crap is going on for decades, right? And they just turned the dial up and try. This time they had to go to, you know, they had to go to 11. And, you know,
and we'll go to 20 if we have to.
Yeah, absolutely. If people don't think that they're going to put the boot on your neck if that's what they have to, didn't pay attention this last election. They don't care, you know, that they're fudging the numbers anymore. It's all an exercise. It's kind of like, you know, over in the Soviet Union, you get candidate A and candidate B, and they're the same people, and right, they already know who's going to win. You know, I've changed the law so it's legal for me to be president for life. You know, that's coming, folks.
Yeah,
get ready.
That kind of stuff. You know, the one thing, Hal is from Texas, Houston area. Texas education, Texas mindset, Lone Star State, the Republic of. It's a totally different mindset, and they can make good on their promise. They would just leave, you know, and we got enough oil, we're good, in case, you know, we don't have enough sun. I mean, you know, we got our own spaceport. Hook-a-chica. You know, so this is Texas, the mindset of Texas. We'll talk about that with Hal Scoggins when we come back in just a little bit.
From the third letter of Captain Mark, the Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, this is going where I was hoping. We'll get in. That's why I knew we needed 2 hours, because just the intro, blah, 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 is going to take up the first hour. But now we can get to the point in the next segment here, Texas, the mindset of Texas. How versed are you on that?
Oh, haven't been here for over 60-something years. I'm pretty versed in the mindset.
Well, everybody's moving there now.
We'll talk about it on
yeah, L.A., man. You know, Joe Rogan and McConaughey and, you know, Elon Musk. And it's in, and we're out of here, you know. And thanks for all the toxic fish.
Well, we'll see how that works out.
Well, you know, well, what do you think? Is there, you starting to feel it? Is that like a thing? You know, my sister lived, and my parents and my sister moved to Decatur up by Fort Worth years ago, and they're back in Arizona now. But for years, when I go visit, you know, I'm going to Texas. When I was 20 years old, for about year and a half, I lived in Arlington and Fort Worth, and I went to community college there. Just to keep my mind busy. And they go, oh, no, you can't go. You can't do anything. You haven't been in high school in Texas, so you got to take Texas history and government, and we're going to explain it to you. And I'm like, all right, you know, whatever, put it on there. So I go to that. It's fascinating. Texas mindset is, oh, man, we're going to kick your ass. Freeze a Yankee, drive 75, and freeze him alive, you know, during the gas oil shortage thing. And I was like, damn, you know, okay, so they got that mindset going on. So that's what I wanted to talk about. I'll give the quickie on the, you know, break off, Republic, secession, five state thing, and then you can take it from there, okay?
Okay. All right. Hey, I just emailed you a link. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not. It's like a 6-minute clip on YouTube. I don't want to play it here, but it's from a show called The Newsroom. Have you ever seen that? It was on HBO several years
ago. The guy sitting in the auditorium going on about what America used to be.
Yeah.
No, I know which one you're talking about. All right, here we're coming back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question? I want to break free. You're listening to Ernest Hancock. I want to break free.
From?
I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break
free. Yeah, we got to break free. From what? You know, to what and what? All right. House Goggins is sharing with us, and I want to make sure that from the perspective that he has and that he would even care, going to Freedom Summits, listening to the show, bringing to our attention. You know, Hal doesn't send me stuff, you know, that often. So when he does, I'm like, ooh, if Hal's, like, looking at it, I'm going to give it a looky-see. Because, you know, it's he communicates on a regular basis over the years. You know, I'd say every couple of months you always got, you know, something to say. But so when... You know, Hal sends me something, you know, I look at it, or we post it on the site or something like that, which everybody's encouraged to do, by the way. And we've been having a lot of articles put up. There's a lot for, you know, the amount of reading that you got to do to keep up with Freedom's Phoenix. It's not meant, there's a wide range of stuff up there, but it's, you know, you can spend the rest of your life just reading Freedom's Phoenix. But it's really an archive. What I'm doing is I'm chronicling everything that's going on that I see was important and a perspective that will be in our search engine and available in IPFS and all that stuff, that it's not going away. Because I know the first thing they do is rewrite history. You know, that's the first thing. They go, oh, that never happened. Where's the video? You know, I don't know. It was here a minute ago. So the Texas mindset, you know, I went to school there, you know, just to do even community college, just to keep my mind busy. When I was young, I was like 20, 21. I was in Texas for like a year and a half. And, you know, I was working there. But, you know, I just didn't have a TV or anything, a radio. You know, I read books. I read, and I wanted to go to school. I wanted to learn more. Well, you had, if you go to school in Texas, certainly even community college level, you have to have Texas government and history. They were like, man, you're going to understand. Well, the bottom line is, Texas came in with the idea that it could secede, that it was its own republic, that it was kind of an agreement, gentlemen shaking hands of kind of, and they go, ah, we had a new case, it was called Grant versus Lee, and now in the Civil War, and you're not allowed to Lee, or something like that. You know, so we'll hear Hal explain that to us. But they can also cut up into five states. If you go, Texas gets five states, then it gets 10 senators and not two. You know, they go, ooh, you want to play that game? We'll play that game. So this is kind of a little bit of the background of history's mindset as the Lone Star State. Take it from there, Hal, and explain it to us, what you think the difference is.
Wow, that's a broad topic. You know, the mindset in Texas, I've traveled around. I've traveled on six continents. My wife and I love to travel, and we've been around, and we pay attention to other cultures and this and that. There's something different about Texas. I have to say that. And, you know, people who aren't from Texas who have encountered Texans and been to Texas to visit, they know it. They feel it. Now, as far as secession, you know, there's a lot of talk from outside of Texas, and I guess inside of Texas also, about Texas will be the first. Well, I don't know. They're starting to sound a little bit better here lately, but for quite a few years, I was telling people, no, I don't think so. You know, I think they'll follow quickly. But if secession starts, well, again, they're starting to sound better on it here lately. People are starting to stand up and talk about it a little bit louder. And the people in office and whatnot are starting to talk about it now. 5 years ago, I would have told you it would probably be Idaho or some other state that would go, and then Texas might be second or third behind them. I think when somebody finally does pull the trigger on secession, so to speak, I think the dominoes will start to fall pretty quickly. I think everybody's just kind of looking at each other, hopefully. Everybody's just kind of looking at each other, waiting to see who's going to do it first, and then they'll follow along. But back to Texas, it is a fairly unique place to live. Take it back, Ernie.
You're giving the perspective. This is what I need. You know that. You know, one thing about Houston that we libertarians would use as an example is they, as I remember, they don't have zoning laws. You know, it's more like deed restriction or something like that. It's not where you can have a business or not do your where you live and mixing. It's a different mindset. And one of the other things that you notice when you drive through Texas is that the highways, you know, big, you know, three each going each way, six, eight lane highways, and all of a sudden they're not even really, you know, exits. They're just, you know, the side road. You just pull over and you go to businesses right there on the highway. I always thought that was freaking cool as hell. You know, it's because Texas is like, we don't go by your standards, your rules. We do what we want. You know, it's more convenient for the farmers or the communities to not get bypassed and have to be an exit of the corporate McDonald's or whatever. We don't do it that way. Then the other thing was when you're traveling on the interstate there, I guess they got their own standards, but utilities, when I was in Texas in the early 80s, it was Hightower, I think it was. He was running for a corporation commission, and during that process, this was when, you know, yeah, it was 84, I remember. It was Reagan's second term, and election, that was the first one I paid any attention to. And they were talking about the corporation commission and how Texas supports its own independence on oil. I remember the popular song at the time, you know, freeze a Yankee, drive 75 and freeze them alive. I mean, you know, they're like, screw them. We got our own oil and you guys can be all whatever and drive 55 all you want, but we're Texas. So you have the power industry. Yeah, Bob, do you know about the power in Texas? Are they kind of independent or something?
Well, I know their grid, you know, their electrical grid is actually a separate. There's like three grids in the United States. It's like West Grid, East Grid, and Texas. So they can isolate their own grid, and I guess it's by law.
Hell yeah, it's freaking Texas. They got a law.
Yeah, I haven't. You know, I haven't really explored it that much because I don't really care. But having been in the electrical business, I do know that you know their electrical grid was.
Does Texas have a nuke plant?
You know, I don't.
Hell no, man. That's all business.
No, yes, they do. South Texas Project. There is a.
No. Yeah, the South Texas Project down on the Gulf Coast. It's around Matagorda area, somewhere like that.
You know, one of the other things, you know, when Elon Musk starts going there and telling Fremont and California suck it, and then they're building Giga Factory Austin, they're starting to move all their stuff there because why be in California? That's just dumb, and Elon's not a dumb guy, so he goes to Texas. Joe Rogan made a big deal about moving to Austin. You know, of course, you got, you know, the alternative media and Alex Jones and stuff there. We know a bunch of people in Austin, you know, the activists, everything. It's Austin, Austin, Austin. So we'll be in Austin probably, it looks like, towards the end of February. And then we're going to go down to Houston, you know, say hello. And we got to take the blood bus and go Boca Chica. Boca Chica, Boca Chica, Starship, freaking, you got your own spaceport. So and if Texas broke off, it'd be like the, I don't know, third, fourth richest oil-producing nation, you know. And they feed themselves. They got enough land. I don't know. Texas doesn't have to be part of America. And I remember the Hunt brothers trying to corner the market in silver, you know, in the late 70s. And silver, man, it used to be like $80 or something. It went stupid there for a while. And that was, you know, I kind of got the impression they could do their own currency. That was kind of one of the ideas. So Texas has a really unique mindset, and that's all it is. It's general public opinion. And Texas has a general public opinion that might be changing, like Arizona when we got Californicated. Well, California be a moving into Texas. Are you feeling that, Hal?
I hear a lot of talk about it. I haven't felt it yet. Of course, living in Houston, one of the big metropolitan areas in the state, it's a kind of a little bluish anyway. But yeah, there's really a lot of conversation. You know, I spend some time on Facebook, you know, chit-chatting with friends and people that I've met there, people of like mind. And a lot of people are concerned about, you know, all this influx from California. I've heard you talk about it in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a thing. You know, that's a nice little town that we can put sidewalks and streetlights over and get paid for doing it, you know?
Zoning laws.
Oh, and the pensions and all the government. And they get so, you know, we got to defund the police because we can't afford their pensions anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so neon flash and obvious what's coming, but where's the steam valve? Where's the out? Secession? Revolution, rebellion, uprising, you know, and then where? Where do we go? Is there some place to go? Might be Texas, or we might have to fight. Fight whom? Who? For what? What are we going to win? You know, what are we fighting for? More. Next hour, we come back with House Coggins. Frank, text Frank and tell him he's on. Yeah, I see him there, but he doesn't have his mic on. Yeah, he's probably off waiting for the show to start anyway. All right, we're going to come in, and we'll do a quick report with Frank.
I'm here.
Right, there he is. All right, when we come back, go ahead and, you know, give us the what for on what's going on one segment, and then, you know, Hal and I and Bob, and you can be part of the conversation too, but, you know, I want to hear, we want to go over this secession or revolution idea. This is... It's not like we don't talk about this enough, Frank, you know, but it's just the solution is whatever. So go ahead and, you know, we're going to be down tomorrow with the bus at the Capitol. We'll be doing the show from there and so on.
Right.
So it'll be fun. All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most.
We are still here!
Oh! Hello!
Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Not afraid. I'm feeling a lot of fear, people. That means you ain't ready. Get ready. Ready. Yeah, Hal is, Hal Scoggins, and we're going to be getting into the great American myth. Secession, you know, probably better than revolution. We're going to go over this a little bit. But, you know, Dr. Frank, come on. Hal wants to hear what Dr. Frank has to say. And there's a lot going on now. I mean, I know it's going to be an interesting Thursday. We do Trump Report after. And today's the election in Georgia and all. And it's the important. And all, yeah, I don't care. You know, I mean, Frank, make me care, man. Go.
That's a heavy order to make Ernie Hancock care. So I don't know about that one. But, hey, thanks for having me on for a few minutes. So I just wanted to give a touch to touch base. I have a number of fellow patriots and people that are going to Washington, D.C. right now. There's activity going with all the different state capitals for for Wednesday for the January 6th big blowout as far as the vote count with Pence. According to the Constitution, and Donald Trump asking for a party. So I just wanted to give it just a couple of things here. First off, for those of you that might be going to D.C., the D.C. event, of course, obviously is on. I'm sure everybody knows about it by now. First off, it begins, if you're able to be there, it starts, or you should be in line by around 7 a.m. at the Ellipse. Now, the Ellipse is the big, kind of like the giant courtyard ellipse kind of formation in front of the White House, Donald Trump's home, I may add. So anyway, it'll be there at 7 a.m. there. And, of course, I'll send actually, Don already put some links up regarding more detailed information if some of you are deciding to head on over there from the East Coast. The other thing, too, is be aware that, of course, they're making sure everyone know not to bring their guns. It's interesting how the system that thought that this whole thing was going to be a joke is getting more and more concerned and putting these warnings out. One warning, or just one example, by the way, and I don't want to get too much sidetracked, but I just found out this late last night that in Reiki, his last name I'm going to miss here, the president of the Proud Boys was just arrested yesterday of making his way to the D.C. rally. Because the Proud Boys, of course, are showing up. In theory, some have said they're going to be wearing black to look like Antifa. Others are going to be in plain clothes to defend people from Antifa. Regardless, I don't want to make this whole thing about the Proud Boys, but it's interesting that they arrested Enrique, who, by the way, is not white, because, get this, because on his Facebook or so, he had made a comment some time ago that he had helped to deface a Black Lives Matter monument or something. And the only reason he mentioned it is because they were trying to make sure, the left was saying that it was all about racism. And, of course, Enrique is not white. He's black. And he was making a point. Well, they used that as a reason to stop him. Now, how they knew and where his car was, you know, I guess it's anyone's guess. But they pulled him over and then arrested him for having two magazines of ammo in his car, and so he's gone, and that's making kind of a big. I'm sure you'll be hearing about that today. The point is that they're watching everybody, and I'm sure if you're on the map and if you're on Freedom's Phoenix, a lot of you, I'm sure that they know about. Just be aware. Next thing, real quick, is of course the hotels. A lot of the hotels are being shut down already. They're trying to make it more and more difficult for people to be there.
Yeah, the mayor shut down retail. 7-Eleven's closed. You're not allowed to get gas and Starbucks and
whatever. Yeah, exactly. So they're definitely trying to make it difficult. And the kicker is, this is not just going to be one day. I'll talk about it in just a couple seconds here, but this is going to be a couple days, if not a week or a couple weeks, which we'll get to. One last thing, there is, of course, in each state, most state capitals, check for yourself, there'll be rallies at your state. Now, here in Phoenix, I'm sure it'll be starting around 8 o'clock, only because around 9 or 10, by around 11 is the official vote. So, of course, with the time difference in Arizona, I would figure if you should be there at least by 9 or 10. It's going to be a huge event here in Arizona. They're having a big screen television jumbotron so everyone can watch all the events unfold. And, of course, what is the whole event? Why would this be a little bit longer? From the last I understand and what's happening, of course, the count, according to the U.S. Constitution, has to occur. It's very specific. At 1 p.m. East Coast, it's the time of January 6th. It's right there in the Constitution. Now, Pence might be asking the senators if they would like to delay this. Why? Well, because there's a lot of motion, a lot of activity happening. The state of Georgia just yesterday turned out, and many of the legislature have now, after all this time, go figure, a day before, they're now saying that after careful analysis, they do now believe that some hanky-panky went on and that maybe they should do a forensic audit, but that audit will take about 10 days to do. So now there's a push being, at least through Georgia and some other states, to perhaps, and I'm not saying that Pence is not behind this or just not aware or would not go for it, but the whole idea is maybe to parlay this for 10 days to force a forensic audit of each of the states in question. Which states will be in question? Well, it'll be every state that gets pulled up, that gets mentioned on Wednesday. As I said, as long as one House member and one Senate member objects per state, then it's a two-hour discussion. So this isn't just 2 hours. It's going to be 2 hours for each state brought up. And we now know that there's many more than just one House and one Senate member. A whole bunch of them are piling on. Now, whether they really believe it or not, or they basically know that this is a head count about being primaried in 2 years or 4 years, that's all the politics behind it. But that is what Trump is doing. He is forcing this, that basically you're with us or them. And lastly, thanks, Ernie, for all this, is that the frustration has been all this evidence is out there, despite your liberal friends. They go, what evidence? There's nothing there. Well, there's plenty of it there. They're not covering it, right? So then he's trying to go to the media. The media won't cover. You try to go on YouTube, they want to shut it down. Then he goes to the courts, and the courts, rightfully or wrongfully, are saying, this is not our deal. It's a state's issue, and we want nothing to do with it, which might be smart, because if this thing gets thrown to Trump, the Democrats might want this back to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will say, hey, we did a Pontius Pilate before. You liked it before. We're still staying out of it. So that might be a really proactive move. But regardless, what's going on is this legislature thing, what's going to happen on a Wednesday, is the bully pulpit. So all the evidence that either Trump doesn't have, but I think he does, whatever he has, and he's ultimately the Trump card, he's holding everything close to the vest, he's waiting for a bully pulpit audience where the media cannot turn away. I mean, they might try to turn away, but he's going to be, the whole world will be forced with Congress, C-SPAN, everywhere, and YouTube can't turn it off. It's going to be broadcast. Everything, whatever the dump is that he has, it's going to come out on Wednesday, and it probably will be so overwhelming, it's going to force every Republican senator and rep to at least say, if I still vote for Biden, I have cooked my entire career and destroyed the Republican Party, as much as Ernie doesn't care. But that is pretty much what all of this is. And whether he's able to churn enough votes or not, he's still going to win, because the win is going to be to force this issue. And if Biden does still get confirmed, he will be illegitimate in the eyes of the world, not just Republicans, but everyone when this thing gets dumped. So that's what's going on in the next 2 days. Oh, and by the way, one last thing. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Today is a preliminary rally in D.C. So many people are showing up. You know, they thought only a couple thousand. We're talking probably, I would assume, at least a million. But who knows? But it sounds like so many people are showing up that there's an initial rally today. For those of you that want
more information... But we'll keep Frank for another so we can finish it up. We come back. because Maricopa County treasurer just resigned. Maricopa County, the treasurer here said, nah, I'm done. I'm joining the recall effort against the supervisors. Yeah, against the supervisors, you got Maricopa County treasurer. I think he lost the election. He's probably going to be replaced in January anyway, I think. But he goes, nah, I'm done. I'm joining the recall against these guys. This is I'm not hanging out with these guys. Don't make me part of them.
You know, it'd be very interesting that if they how forensically they go into this whole thing, how that could affect the McSally race. I mean, are they going to go back down and drill down and see what all the races were? Because McSally.
I think you might have a point there, Bob, because they were saying what's your name, Kelly
Ward,
the person who's doing all the yeoman's work there. Yeah, no, not Kelly Ward. The woman who's doing all the work now for knocking on all the doors right now.
Oh yeah, okay.
They're doing she's the realtor. Track. I forget her name.
Mary, is that? You know, I know who you're talking about. Liz or?
Yeah.
We
have to get her name because I'm telling you, she's going to be running for office. She's going to be drafted by the American people here in Arizona soon. But she was saying on the podium at the rally at the Capitol that she said this evidence is not just overwhelming about this last election. She said, now, Ernie, sit down for this. I know you'll be shocked. But that this, this voter fraud, the machines, has been going back for decades.
Decades.
And that all of this can be revealed. Yeah, with enough time and as long as people are able to open these floodgates, that you'd be shocked how far back this goes. Like, I'm sure even Ernie.
No.
This could go all the way
back. I bet not.
You know, no, this is, okay, let me tell you one thing that makes you go, Last night, it's like, I don't know, 10, 11, whatever it was, we'd go to bed, and I get a whoop, 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 whoop on my phone. It's one of those emergency alerts. It's an Amber Alert. Now, when this first started in, like, 03, 04 something. Amber was a young girl that got abducted and whatever, an excuse that we need to be able to communicate with everybody. The alert was, is somebody from Washington State, a custodial thing, a parent, somebody, took a girl, and they're heading to Arizona from Washington, and they got to let me know this. And I'm like, okay, well, will you let me know? Well, it's Amber, now they're heading to Arizona. Keep a lookout for, like, somebody. And I'm like, wow. They're just testing the system.
Yeah, the compliance of the people. Like I say, I stopped paying attention to those Amber alerts and all that stuff they put on the fruit because I knew it digressed right to what I knew it was going to be. I mean, it used to be if, somebody grabbed a kid and they knew the kid was probably going to only have, like, an hour to live if they didn't find him. That was all about. Now it's, parental arguments and somebody
in Washington State.
Yeah, and then all this stuff goes on and I'm like, so I don't even pay attention to them anymore. It's like, whatever. It's
Silver Alert, you got this is it's last night it was the appropriate time, to test whether the El Presidente's got the emergency alert of they do. And then when I open up my phone, I go, okay, I wanted to do something, and that alert was still up there. Do you want to turn off the alerts? And I'm going, whoa, I never had that option before. Before, it was like, you're going to take it regardless. Now, they did that. Okay, you can turn it off if you want. And I'm going, do I want to turn it off? Is Trump going to want to communicate with me? What are we looking at? Nothing is a coinkydink, man. There is something going on here. All right. When we come back,
Trump alert.
Yeah, and I remember you read a lot of different dystopian, militia rising up, revolutionary books or whatever. It's always, all right, hold on, we're coming back. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Hal Scoggins from Houston, he Texan. Yeah, Texas got a different perspective than Texas. And then Robert Anderson and Dr. Frank. We'll go another segment here real quick. He wants to, give what for. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to finish up very quick. I was talking about certain groups. If some of you are interested to go or want more information and not sure where to get it, because this whole thing is, it's by the people, from the people. I mean, this is not officially a Trump event or nothing. a couple sites. I did send them to Donna. They are up on Freedom's Phoenix. One is, and of course, these are groups that are organized, that have done other rallies. So if you're trying to find pretty legit information for logistics and getting there and all of that, this is some reliable information. One is marchtosaveamerica.com. Again, marchtosaveamerica.com, all one word. The other one, of course, some of you guys are really, if you really want fun, the Proud Boys, but, you know, of course, they're in the news. The other one is Women for Trump, which is March for Trump through Women for Trump. So the women group has been very active, actually. And I have to say that the women here in Arizona have really, I mean, they are on fire here. It's great just to see all the conservative and libertarian and American ladies just kicking butt at the Capitol. I'm really impressed. I know, I'm supposed to be a sexist, I guess, because I'm a Trump guy. I'm surprised, right? But no, it's just been great to see. And then lastly, I think those are the two main ones right there. And one last thing, suppose there's a picture of Donald Trump at the White House. He flew a flag of the 1776 flag on top of the White House. It's been going around that it just happened a couple of days ago. I'm not sure if that's a deep fake or not, but that's been going around. It'd be interesting if that's a call. Anyway, that's pretty much. Oh yeah, the very last thing, Donna. Well, she'll have a link. If some of you would like to support, those of you who can't go to Washington D.C., we have a few patriots. There's a number of them in this group. But Ed, you know, I don't want to mention their last names, but Ed and Todd, many of you guys know, they're driving down there. It's like $600 in gas plus everything to go down, and they're doing it when many of us cannot, including myself. Of course, as much as I wanted to go, but we'll be kind of kicking butt here in Arizona. But if you guys have someone in your own life that's making the journey down there, think about pitching in and helping them out to represent all of us going there. And if you don't have someone, and if you would like to contribute, we'll definitely at least have for Ed and Todd in that group on Freedom's Phoenix just to help out, you know, for a couple bucks if possible.
Yeah, these guys are Ron Paul revolutionaries that are, you know, Constitution we're going to get back to and be ruled correctly. And they're anarchist libertarians. They're good friends, and they're good activists, and made a billion signs. So they're going to Washington D.C. represent. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll throw you a couple bucks. But I tell you, what are we fighting for? An accurate election? I don't know. I've been screaming about that for freaking ever. You know, decades going, this is what's going to happen. Then what? You know. Now what? And you say, there's some big important day today. What is today? What's so special about today? Why the 6th? What's going on, Frank?
Well, like I said, officially the 6th.
Officially
is
what?
The head of the Senate counts the electors that were certified from all the different states, and he officially does the count. Now, of course, the debate is whether this is ceremonial or not. That's technically what's happening. I'll tell you what's really happening, which is kind of really your question. It's a legitimate question. What is happening is we're facing the question that Thomas Jefferson asked or pointed, which is, are you as a citizen afraid of your government, or is the government afraid of you? That is what the frick is going on there.
Not if you can't take your gun to Washington, D.C.
The government has to realize with that audience and all this fraud that's happening in front of everybody and the whole world and all these people showing up. When Biden can't even, when he's got to cancel his inauguration parade because only crickets are showing up in tumbleweed, that is the moment. That is what's happening, really.
I think all socialists, gather for. I mean, it's going to be, that'll be interesting. How much is this election cycle put a, you know, kind of a stop on your life of where we're just waiting and seeing the date of, and then we'll make the decision, and it's too late. I mean, you know, what are you waiting on this election cycle? Is there something, a date, a time, an action, what?
I'm just watching. I haven't stopped, put anything in my life on hold. I'm still playing golf a couple of times a week, and, you know, I'm just watching what's going on, waiting to see.
Waiting for what? Then what?
I hope it stays peaceful. I don't know. It depends what happens.
I know. See, I just feel it's like a stand down, stand by till something. What? You know, I'm. You know, what do you think, Frank? I mean, what's they go? Nope, we don't like it. No, I can't. We bitched. I guess we'll go home now. I mean, What's the gathering for? Just show us support? You know, tear down the marble? I mean, you want monuments defaced? I'll show you what's up when we something. What?
I think, I mean, not to be too hyperbolic, but kind of my last point. I think it gets to a level where, and Ernie, it's funny how, like, the closer we get to this, the more, you know, it's like it's the things that you've talked about, where people just say it just doesn't matter. And when you realize that the rules don't apply to you, but they apply to, they apply to you, but not to the rulers. When you realize that you have no voice, no voice in the media, you have no voice anywhere, you're being censored and banned and everywhere. And I know this is the hardest, you know, not to be too flippant with it with you, Ernie, but, you know, people keep thinking at the end of the day, the government is whatever that we elect. And ultimately, if you don't like it, then you run for office and you can change it. That's kind of how people are always told. But we're just always too busy, too lazy, or watching football, whatever else. I mean, not this audience, but most people, that's their deal. But they at least realize at the end of the day, you know, if the right person runs, then of course we can change things. Or if my son decides to grow up and become president, then that can happen. At the end of the day, that is the dream, or not just the dream, but the promise that it can be changed. But when you finally realize everything's broken between the debt, between both Democrats and Republicans sitting there giving all this money to Pakistan when everyone's bankrupt and being forced with to have to wear masks and lockdowns and just everything, and the average American is waking up, including the culture war with Star Wars and Doctor Who, and that's a whole other story we've talked about on the show. All of this is breaking down, and you say, you know what? Fine, I want Bernie Sanders, or I want Donald Trump, and I want these people in to really make a change, and the system says, no. And the thing with Donald Trump is, aside from Ron Paul and others, where only a few of us knew how corrupt the system was, now the entire world is seeing it. And what's going to happen tomorrow is when Donald Trump does his dump, you know, to put in those terms, of all of the information that I know he's been holding on to. He's just been waiting for the right audience where it can't be censored and banned. And that's why Ted Cruz was going to argue this in front of the Supreme Court when he had a full audience, but they wouldn't see it. So that's what this is. This is theater. Remember, Donald Trump's a reality show star. This is theater to press the issue. Whether or not they give Trump the election or not, which they should because it was stolen, but in a way, you could still win even with the loss.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, guys, George Washington lost every single battle during the Revolution.
It's just you stay in. You never go. You lost what? How many minds can you free? That's what this is about. Well, all right. Dr. Frank got to have his say. Oh, you know what they're doing now? Door-to-door killing of chickens in the United Kingdom because of avian something. You know, this is going to be a food thing. All right, there we go. I got to get to Hal. We need to do what we were going to do and get on this freaking article. But the
no problem. Thank you so much. And I'm sure the guys appreciate it as well. I'll see you tomorrow.
I was enjoying this conversation.
Yeah, no, Hal's glad. Hal.
I was enjoying this conversation. Takes the pressure off of me.
Yeah, no, it's all you, man. It's all you. You know, this is, Frank and I don't know, do you listen to the after show, like the MP3 of me and Frank yelling at each other for hours?
Oh, yeah.
That's your favorite part?
If it's a five-hour deal, I listen to all five. Yeah.
You know, Frank, there's a lot of, you know, more than you think. Of course, Frank tries to gaslight me. Oh, everybody hates you, Ernie. You're doing it wrong, you know? And I'm going, oh, my God.
I don't say that. Come on.
You're doing it wrong.
I just said that. I don't think anyone's listening to the two of us bicker.
Well, that's the best part, you know?
I leave.
Sometimes I'm screaming into the radio saying, Ernie, shut up and let Frank finish.
Oh, hell no. He gets to talk way more than anybody else. I go,
I don't.
Let him finish.
He gets interrupted a whole lot more than anybody else, too. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm just like, you know, well, let me finish my point. We'll get to the freaking point. Oh, my God. All right. Well, you know, Frank, I'm...
All right, I love you, man. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. All right, buddy, bye. Yeah, everybody yells at me. Already let him talk. You know, the thing is you know, and I explain it to the audience a lot. You know, I have a wide range of guests. But it's very repetitive. what I do. I want to make, because I have them and their audience. You know, Frank has an audience, you know, and a lot of the guests I have, they have their own audience because, of course, they do a show and they'll, you know, send it forward to their buddies, or when people want to see what shows they've been on, they come across a show. And, you know, so I have a really active archive. And the reason I do what I do and so repetitive on these stories, I keep having to hammer home this one thing. One, nobody ever asks why, you know, so I want to get the why in there. And, you know, what the proper role of government is. I mean, what was the promise? What did they say? You know, it's defend individual rights. Not doing that, then what the hell good are they? You know, I got a government that got the power now, what was it, Goldwater? Power, government with the power to give you everything has the power to take everything away from you. And I'm going, that's what's going on. And we're sitting here living in this soup of control. And I'm they're so far out of what the promise was to me for the government there to protect my individual rights. And when they keep saying make America great again, and I'm going, one, what's America? And two, what makes it great? Well, Reagan, at least, whether he did it or not, equated our support of freedom as the thing that made us great. So I that's so fundamental and basic to me that, and it's like lost. It's like brainwashed it out of us. And it was by intent. And you see with the government school, that's another thing. Texas school system, they make an effort to, they get your mind right. You know, they all into federal government control their education or no?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's I don't think it's any better here than it is any other state, Ernie, yeah. Really.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
If it's in the public school system, the unions have basically been entirely co-opted, and they have so much power that they, hell, you watch. They're gonna take away your home school. They're gonna take away your charter schools. It's coming.
All right, here we go.
At shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hal Scoggins, Robert Anderson, Dr. Frank, gave a report real quick. This is most important election, important of our lifetime, forever and always. And I'm like, yeah, it's just representative of an atmosphere. Are the people ready to push back, and what does that mean, and how far? And we got here, Jay Noon sent us this. Ice Age farmer reports the police in the United Kingdom are going door to door to kill chickens. This is what happens when you register your livestock and your guns and your freedoms and your property rights and the county recorder, if I can come get and tax me and take, and. So wow. And people go into the protest that they think is not, I don't know, they don't want them there, they arrest them or make up a reason or stop and frisk or something. And this happened during the 08 campaign, what is called the MIAC report. And it was, Missouri or something like that. And they said, anybody going to these different events wearing or having a Ron Paul bumper sticker or a Chuck Baldwin bumper sticker or, hell, even a bumper sticker, justification pulling them over and getting some. And I'm just like, wow. The press back on that, became a diffusion project and all kinds of stuff that we worked with. But I'm trying to get back to this article. And, there's a lot of great quotes in here. This one I had marked out. That is a dream come true for the globalist in the long term. And despite people's faith in Trump, there are far too many banking elites, globalists within his cabinet to ensure that such power not be abused or used against us later. Our faith in somebody's going to fix it for us is going to fix it with what? More tyranny? Authoritarianism? Nothing would give Klaus Schwab and the Davos crowd more pleasure than turning us into them, willing to use indiscriminate violence to push otherwise humble and decent people into crazed killers and repudiate their inherent meekness, their inherent desire to pursue their bliss, allowing everyone else that same courtesy. This is the libertarian anarchist view of government, is that the purpose of them is for me to pursue my happiness. I just leave me aloneism. But no, this is what Bob is bringing up. He's going, look, they're not going to go away. You can secede as an individual or as a state or a community all you want, but they, them, those got like, you know, M16s, F16s, and, you know, and tanks and stuff. You know, so what do you do? Well, you know, Texas has this mindset of secession. What do you think will happen? You think Washington go, no, you're not allowed to leave. Texas doesn't care. Because like Bob says, they're already isolated on their grid. You know, their mindset is this. The roads are different. You go into Texas, boom, everything changes. It's Texas. So what do you think? How secession, is that a real possibility?
Oh, I think it's definitely a possibility. I've been wishing and mentally pushing for it for a couple of decades now. I just don't know, you know, as I said earlier, I haven't for quite some time thought that Texas would be the one to go first. And as I said, again, as I said earlier, they're starting to sound better lately, but, I don't know. I hope, there's a lot of logistics and details to work out if it happens. I've been thinking through all those just on, you know, in my own mind going, man, what would we do about this? What would we do about that? But, I think it's got to happen. I've been saying for, several years now, shortly after Trump took office, and this election that we just went through, I've been saying for at least 2 years, I don't know who's going to win, but regardless of who wins, I just can't see the country staying together. We've just become way too polarized. And, you know, to have one little city like Vince Aprinowitz calls it, Washington City over there, this little enclave of people making rules and governing, in quotes, 300 and something million people, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that just doesn't work. It's not working. Hasn't been working for a long time. Let's let everybody go their own way, live their own life the way they want to, and see which works out the best.
You know, one of the articles that you sent was also along these lines, you know, the new Confederacy. Yes, it's time for conservatives to unite against a globalist reset. Well, okay, as a nationalist, our collective will beat up your collective against collectivism. And I don't know if it was a meme or a story. It had the United Nations flag flying over some government building in the United Kingdom or something. I'm like, oh, of course. I mean, you know, and they're beating people, not wearing masks. And all. So that's another thing. It comes down to this whole was ushered in under V is for Vendetta vaccine kind of crap. And I'm wondering, mandatory vaccinations, where's your line on that one?
I'm against them. You know, if somebody comes knocking on the door with guys with guns behind them and a needle in their hand, I'll make the decision then. But I don't have any intention of taking particularly this vaccine. I'm pretty much I don't trust vaccines, period, the way they've been developed in the last several decades. I think that's just completely ridiculous. And the fact that the government grants all the pharma companies freedom from litigation before the vaccine even goes into use, that should tell you something right there.
You would think, but I mean, you know, they're going to say, well, what about convenience? You know, it's like, it's like describe Mark of the Beast stuff. Now, neither will you be able to buy or sell or travel or do or get or commerce or, you know, plane or, I mean, they're going to make it to where it's so inconvenient. And then I got a bus. Yeah. I'll drive, and they'll go, pull over in the secondary. We gotta like check your vaccination record or something. I'm, you know, what's to be done, Hal?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah,
you made me think. You know, I remember posting and emailing and saying out loud way back during the Obama administrations. You know, every time they would pull something else, I would say, man, you know, these guys like seem to want a war with the people.
Yes.
I mean, they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
It's going to be their excuse for coming for the guns.
What if that's going to happen?
You know, their excuse for coming for the guns now. You go to, you know, in the song by Jordan Page, Pendulum, he goes, but when I protested, I was arrested and beaten. You know, that's America. That's, you know, how did you know, Ernie? You know, I mean, I don't know what people are looking at. I don't understand what they think that this isn't going this way with intent. There is an intent here, and part of it is they need you to be violent. They need to justify the troops calling it, coming out and doing whatever. Now, in Portland, finally, when the mayor goes, okay, I guess we need some federal help. We kind of lost control of the city. Well, it's like what always happens. The brown shirts for Hitler, you know, the Antifa for the left or whatever does their thing, but then they're the first to go. As soon as the new boss, same as the old boss, gets in, you know, they're going to do us all a solid and take them out, and you did it wrong, and they go to jail and get defunded and whatever first. And they think there's something in it for them. And I go, well, you might as well have joined the firebombing party of whatever the hell you had, because that's all you get. You know, you got BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter is going, we need like a cabinet position. You know, we had Professor Leon Watkins coming on talking about reparations and all this other stuff. And I am dumbfounded by, you know, the obvious solution is to be independent, to quit being dependent. You know, you don't need to be just off the grid, be above the grid. You know, it's food and water and shelter and all this stuff. Well, they want to control what you can do with your own land. So I got this one piece of land, Hal, man. It was beautiful. I was like, wow, this is out of a freaking postcard. But we got to improve the road going in there. Am I allowed? You know, who built the roads? Well, I'll do it. You're not allowed. Oh, okay. Really? Why? You know, we'll talk about Texas a little bit and the land usage and the people that are going there, what to expect. Are they going to be any better? Are you just going to have a frying pan into another frying pan or right onto the coals? I don't know. We're going to talk with Hal Scoggins more when we come back.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark, landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the Crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These pattern monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the Crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The Crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, I'm here. Hold on. Pushing buttons.
Okay.
Okay, here I go. Yeah, I'm doing for our next guest. We have a, you know, about being free with crypto and pirate currency and all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting. We'll go along on that one. And but these are the solutions that I try, you know, to make it not matter. And the people that think, oh, it matters, it's the most important. I hate the idea that they're delegating responsibility to someone else. It's so damaging, you know. I don't see it. I'm not a fan, you know.
Hey, I had a question for you. I wanted to ask you off the air.
Yeah.
Completely on another topic. You had a guy on back in January, I think, talking about land patents. The guy from up in Oregon or Washington or
yeah,
something.
Right.
He had a book. You were trying to get his book on Amazon, and he was going to be doing a seminar on March 30th, which I assume didn't happen.
No, it did.
Went crazy. Yeah.
Oh, no, March. I don't know. This year, maybe he didn't.
Did you get his book on Amazon?
No, I got his book, and we took it to New Hampshire, where I think Jay and those guys got it and copied the living crap out of it. But I don't know. Excuse me, having a potato chip. The yeah, no, it's yeah. It, hit the rounds, man. You know, the guys, they were digging it. So, you know, we'll, now we can talk about that. See, that's one thing. It's just more paperwork and process and everything. That's why I was looking for, you know, we're traveling the country. There are places to where they have a leave me a lonest attitude. Here in Arizona, Cochise County, they got to where you can go get a permit from the county to not have to have any more permits. And I'm like, what? You know, you don't want to have any permits or inspections? Well, fill out this right here. To, I totally agree that, you know, you could get permit me, but you're not permitting me. And it's the mindset. I've seen the creep. You know, it's what's being done to control us. All right, we'll talk about it. I got to push some buttons here. Hold on.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
They don't need no stinking roads until we do. And then I want to build it, and you're not allowed because you're not allowed. This has been building in Texas. You know, this drive, you know, I'm going to Texas. I mean, a lot of people are. If you're in Southern California, you're going, screw this. Now, the thing about Southern California is the reason the weather's so nice in San Diego is it's desert. L.A. and San Diego, that's desert. It'd be just freaking desert up to the ocean if it wasn't for, you know, you use water and make it not desert anymore. So that's why people in Arizona, you go to San Diego in the summer, it's a lot cooler, it's nice, until that, I don't want to go anymore. Yeah, screw them. I'd rather risk Mexico, you know. But Texas has the Gulf Coast there, and you go south along the Gulf Coast as far south as you can get, and you got Boca Chica, the Starship, and be a launch. You got your own spaceships, which can be your own space bombers. Texas will have it. So Elon's going, you know what? I come in at hot at 50 gazillion miles an hour. I already need a bomb. I got a rocket, you know? So this is, they're going nip. Texas being able to secede and have its own rocket factory and its own electric car factory and more factories and land. They're going, we don't like that. So I'm wondering, you know, how does the government treat you? You want to go, you know, get some land out in the Lone Prairie. How free are you there, Hal?
Well, I have land out in the Lone Prairie. Been in our family for generations. As far as buying new land, I don't have any experience with that. The government doesn't bother me much with the land I have. When my mom passed back about 11 years ago, I had to, you know, change the ownership. We've had livestock ag exemptions, agricultural exemptions on this land for forever. Well, when the ownership changed, they came and wanted me to fill out forms to see if the ag exemption was going to hold, and you know, I had to go through some conversation with him saying, "Hey, I lease it to a cousin. He runs cattle on it. I don't know how many. He keeps the fences up, so I don't know where the fences are." And they said, "Okay," and left me alone. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. Buying new land in Texas, that's one reason I was asking you. In the break there about the land patent deal, because I've been interested in that since before you brought it up.
Yeah, it's been my experience has been that it's all about more paperwork. Well, if you do the right paperwork and you bring forth the paperwork or the paperwork, and I'm going, man, that seems to be the problem right there. You know, that I'm even, I want a constitutional provision that just says thou shalt use your own land any way you want and get over it. You know, Jay up in Henniker, what happened was, obviously, you know, neighbors don't like the fact that, you know, some of them don't like him shooting on his land or whatever. And he goes, well, you got a junkyard. You got stuff out. You're violating zoning of, you got, you know, too many trailers of kind of something to complain about, whatever. So I went with him into the, I guess, the city hall and talked to the attorney and economic development guy, and he presented him with a bunch of quite 8 freedom of information things and, you know, some declarations and his fee schedule. You guys bugging me? I charge $50,000 an hour for you to bug me, okay? So I just, this is my claim. You guys want to play? Let's play. And all of a sudden, they sent him back a bunch of documents. And in the founding of that city, it said that you know, the use and the freedom of on your own soil of the boundaries of you kind of, we don't have any jurisdiction and peace out and none shall bother you. And he goes, okay, I guess we're done here. You know, but this was, you know, 100 and something years old. They come to go, damn it, I hate when people read that stuff. So the mindset in this country was totally different before. And now it's gone totally different. You know, it's for the environment of the children of whatever. And these sociopaths are in charge. I guarantee they don't give a crap about anything other than whatever the hell it is they want to do. And they're just looking for an excuse. So to me, I don't care what the laws are. I care what the general public opinion is. And the shift in the opinion in this country is government's not as good as we thought. There's not as much pride. And I remember, you know, before Trump became president, you know, Christmas lights were winking out. Here in the Valley, it just wasn't that. And, you know, 4th of July celebrations and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, he becomes president. Woo-hoo! The Christmas tree lights. Everybody, woo! We got a bunch of lights and fireworks every opportunity they can think of. So this is, nope, we're closing down the 4th of July. Then you see L.A., and it's an ocean of fireworks. You could walk on them. I mean, it was amazing. So it's an attitude, but you don't know that because of the media. So the media in Texas is different in what way, locally or not?
No. It's, you know, it's owned by the same people that own all the other newspapers around town, and the TV stations are owned by the same corporations that own all the other TV stations. So, you know, we get all the same nonsense here. I've had a conversation several times with people online lately, and my disappointment, I guess is the right word, is that even people my age who, you know, been around long enough, they ought to know better. They still sit and they watch the evening news and they read their newspaper every morning and they think they're informed. So they get into conversations about what's going on and think they know what they're talking about because it said so on TV. You know, it's just really sad to me.
Yeah.
Because there's so much information out there.
Well, I mean, you admitted to doing some, you know, Facebooking. I mean, how Facebooked are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm pretty active on there. I got on Facebook originally to find old friends and, you know, when I find them, I'd give them my email address, and then we'd communicate that way. But I guess I've gotten more and more into it, just getting into political discussions and debates and downright arguments. You know, I've gotten blocked by several people, you know, because I kept giving them facts and they didn't want to hear it. So they either run away or they block me.
Okay, but why? Are they trolls? Are they intentional? Are they friends? Have they been indoctrinated? I mean, what... You know, the resistance to what you had to say comes from what?
Well, as to whether they're trolls or not, that's always hard to figure out, you know.
Robots, trolls, paid, whatever.
I don't think so. I think they're just people that, you know, the people that I just described. You know, they read the newspaper and they watch the TV news, and I'm telling them stuff that they're not hearing and getting from that, so obviously I'm wrong, and then I keep throwing, you know, facts at them and sources, and, well, they don't want that, because, you know, there's the clash with their paradigm of the world, and people don't like that, man. That'll get into some real heated arguments real fast if you challenge people's established opinions and notions about things, especially if it's something, you know, that they consider to be important, like, you know, the current political situation.
What do they think is important? Fairness, redistribution of, you're too white and too rich? I mean, what's their mindset?
Well, it depends on who which person I'm talking to. I encounter all those, you know. You put me on the spot here. I'm trying to think of specifics, and my mind blank. But,
well, this is I'll help you out here, because I can tell when someone is Facebooked up, man. I mean, you could. It's just like you could feel it. They're just reading from memes or 3x5 cards of whatever, but they can't really articulate it. That's why the left can't meme. There's got to be some truth in there somewhere. It's just indoctrination where, you know, some conservative or just kind of truth. I mean, that's what makes memes work, is that, you know, yep, you know. They try and meme against Trump or against what's going on or something. It's just, really? I mean, you think that's going to catch? I don't think so. So I don't believe the media. I don't believe the mythos that they're creating. I don't believe that so many Americans are so eager to have somebody tell them what to do and how to raise their children and where to take, you know, how much money they're taking from them. They're, oh, are you going to give me some back? All right, $600? I'm for, like, I don't know, $600,000. What the hell? Pay off my house. It'd been cheaper anyway. You know, that's not what this is about. It's about control. You know, Hal, thanks for coming on. Hold on, we still got some time. We can yak it a little bit for the next guest. But I tell you, the next guest is on Pirate Coin, Pirate Crypto. We're going Pirate Communications, Anonymous. Right? We're going to be talking about it. We're going to go, you know, in the next hour and long on some solutions. I can't do this show without offering solutions. Solutions on how to resist, on how to express yourself, on how to, you know, general public opinion and practical solutions. Growing food. This thing's going to be a food thing. That's what everybody knows. Food. Are you stocked up? Because it will be a food thing. In the end, it's always food. We'll be right back. Our next guest, we're going to have us some fun. Some more. A little bit more with House Coggins right after this. Go to the after show. There, thank you, Hal. You get to say what you wanted to say?
Oh, yeah. I have all kinds of things in the back of my mind and stories I could get into, but I enjoyed it. It always goes faster than you think it will.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We need 2 hours. You know, and a lot of times, we do this again. We can do a podcast or a Zoom, and I get better connection. We can, you know, do video and so on, but it's... I'm
Hey, what's going on with your bandwidth? Bob doesn't have good internet out there.
Fair at best. It's fair at best. It's, you know, it's adequate for surfing the internet or watching an occasional Netflix thing. But, you know, I mean, he's got a thing going on here. I mean, he's downloading video, he's uploading video, and, you know, if he tries to do streaming, it becomes a thing.
It's, you know, we do different. You know, we have Verizon, AT&T, his whatever the hell microwave into, you know, Lone Prairie stuff. Wi-Fi we can do through the Raspberry. I mean, we've got all kinds of different ways of doing it. Some of them can do, but it's not consistent for the stream or the video. And this is why I've been hammering on the Starlink thing so much, because I understand the power of that. You know, I understand what's going to happen. It's going to be, you know... Now you have content providers, especially, you know, does as many hours a week as we do, that I can't stand it. You know, Donna's freaking ready to shoot me, sitting there watching a spinning wheel all the time. You get days behind of loading the ass, screw that. So what we're doing is we're setting it up to where we load to our own IPFS servers and the social media pull from us so that we're not having to babysit it. And we've got developers at Float and Derek and all the guys working on that to where we are the providers. So it's that's kind of what the kind of stuff we're going to be talking about in this next hour, that I'm looking for this kind of solution. You know, the solution is not going to be, I don't know, some silk shiny tie guy telling me he's going to rule me better than the other silk shiny tie guy. So I'm just taking back my freedom every which way I can. That's what Pirates Without Borders is about. So it's... you know, this is, we'll keep having this conversation probably for the rest of this month, but after this is all over, you know, hopefully people will know what the solution is, and it's going to have to be, I say no, and then what? You know, you got to have ways of saying no, and that's what our next guest is going to help us with that. Hal, thanks for coming on, man. It was fun. We'll do it again sometime.
Sure. I love it.
All right. Peace, brother. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.